Blog Talk Radio.
911, what's your emergency?
I called a little bit ago. The deputy sheriff said I found out my granddaughter has been taken. She has been missing for a month. Her mother finally admitted that she's been missing.
Okay, what is the address that you're calling from?
We're talking about a 3-year-old little girl. My daughter finally admitted that the baby's in the store. I need to find her.
Your daughter admitted that the baby is where?
But the babysitter took her a month ago that my daughter's been looking for. I told you my daughter was missing for a month. I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. And she just admitted to me that she's been trying to find her herself. There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the 3-year-old's name?
Kaylee. C-A-Y-L-E-E. Anthony.
Kaylee Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, is she white, black, or Hispanic?
She's white.
How long has she been missing for?
I have not seen her since the 7th of June.
What is her date of birth?
8-9-2000. Oh, gosh, she's 2005. George Kane is missing.
Welcome to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Michelle Barr, and tonight we explore week 2 in the murder case of the century, the Casey Anthony trial in Orlando, Florida. Tonight's guests will be taking your calls. The call-in number is 347-838-8622. Again, that number is 347-838-8622. The chat room is also open. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. Click tonight's show, and you should be taken straight to the chat room. Tonight, our guests include Orlando criminal defense attorney Eric Dubois, private investigator James Copenhaver, and investigative reporter Rozzy Franco. Casey Anthony is charged with first-degree murder in the death of her daughter, Kaylee Marie Anthony. If convicted, she could face the death sentence. Since June 16th, 2008, when Kaylee was presumed dead, according to investigators, Anthony has pleaded not guilty. Wow. After a long, long 14 days and 2 weeks in this trial, another long week in the court. So we welcome our guests tonight, Eric, Rozzy, and James. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
Hey,
fine,
Michelle.
Thank
you again.
Hey, Michelle, I'm driving, so if someone asks a question and I don't hear it right off, I'll just ask for them to ask it again, okay? Just wanted to give you the FYI on that.
I appreciate that. Eric, we need to start with you. It was so important for us here at Voices for Justice to have an attorney present tonight, so thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. So, in Jose Baez's world, pretend, if you will, that you are defending Casey Anthony. How are you feeling about the trial at this point?
You know, the state has the burden of she's being charged with first degree murder. To this point, the state has proved she's a liar. She's a psychopath. She's crazy. But the state hasn't proved anything to show a cause of death or that there was premeditation in a murder. So, I mean, as of today, if the trial ended today, I don't think the state would be able to prove first-degree murder.
Now, that's you
talking. I've got issues on my hands with the fact that my client has lied to the detectives, lied to Orange County sheriff's officers, deputies, lied to her family, lied to family on jailhouse recordings, but that doesn't show that she killed her daughter.
But don't you think that Lee Anthony, her brother's testimony, was pretty damning? I mean, he basically made her look like such a liar. I agree with you. I don't think that proves she's a murderer, but don't you think that definitely raises some red flags for the jurors? I mean, in your experience?
You know, when Jose Baez did his opening statement in announced to the world that Kaylee allegedly drowned in a pool on June 16th, and George found her. As soon as Jose did that, Casey's going to have to testify. And now
right.
You've got all these recordings and everything coming out where, you know, she's lied to this, she's lied about that, she's, you know, lying to everyone. If I'm Jose Baez, I'm sitting there, how is the jury going to have any belief in what she says when she's on the stand and have any credibility? That's my biggest concern right
sure.
now if I'm Jose Baez and the defense team.
So how about as a defense attorney
watching this all unravel in that courtroom, what is your take on the fact that maybe he's, I don't know, there's been so much said that Jose wanted his day in court, quote unquote, especially after what happened today after court and the entourage of his media interviews, if you will. So what if he's there more so for himself and not his client? Would he put Casey on the stand knowing it's going to be bad either way?
I think with the opening statement that was made and the defense's arguments and position as to what happened, he's got no choice but to put Casey on the stand. When the state called George Anthony as their first witness, and his first or second question was, did Kaylee drown in the pool? And he said, no. You've got no option. I mean, who else is going to testify if only Casey and George were at the home when Kaylee allegedly drowned in the pool? You've got no option but to put your client on the stand to testify. Is it about Jose Baez getting his day in court? I don't know. You know, what happened outside the courthouse today is bad, is horrible, but, you know, his office isn't in the courthouse. He's got to get to his office. You know, if he pushes the media aside or assaults them, quote-unquote, or batters them, you know, he can't win either way. He's got to get to his office.
Well,
you know,
there's been times when he's come out of court and he's just walked straight through. I mean, you know, just having been there. So today, I definitely think it was ridiculous. But
we also have to remember that the jury is sequestered. They're not seeing what we're seeing.
Right.
They're not reading the media. They're not listening to this radio show or any other shows. See that. We see that. And the jury's stuck with what happens in that courtroom, in the squared circle, as we say. And, you know, would I be cocky? No.
Yeah.
But I'd be, you know, the state hasn't shown anything yet. They've shown she's a liar. Okay?
Yeah.
And, that's,
and
think,
we
know
from day one she's had, it's been character assassination after her since day one. But I can honestly say that that watching everything unravel and how the prosecution and the state is making their case, we see a lot more of what we didn't see before. And
it would be hard to serve on this jury.
It would be very hard, but, you know, we've got to go back to jury selection. These people were selected from a city 100 miles away from Orlando in Pinellas County, who they all were questioned at length, that they didn't know anything about the case. And, you know, whether Jose Baez is able to handle a case of this nature, he's not on trial. His client's on trial, and he's got to go with the hand to his belt. And the state is charging her with first-degree murder, and they've got a very circumstantial case that they've got to prove. And if, you know, a win to the defense may be if she's convicted of manslaughter. That'd be a win to them, keeping her out of death row.
So why is it that, you know, when Andrea Lyon was on there in the beginning, it was a whole thing about Jose only had 3 years of being an attorney under his belt, that he could not sit first chair. But even if he's sitting second chair, that allows Cheney not to have to do much talking. How does that work in a courtroom?
You have to be deaf qualified. You know, we don't know what Cheney's role is right now. Cheney Mason's role is right now. He's a very seasoned attorney, is deaf qualified. You know, he may be saving his cross-examination and direct examination for these experts that are going to be coming up. the scientific evidence, which is where really the state is going to have to meet its burden and prove that Casey, in cold-blooded, premeditated the murder of her daughter. Right now it's a character assassination. You know, any attorney can handle that, whether or not...
Do you think the state... the state's witness today during the cross-examination in regards to chemical blue star was a plus for the defense, that he could not say that there was blood found in the car with their testing?
I think that's a plus for the defense. I think, you know, the comments that the initial crime scene tech who arrived on scene said when she secured the vehicle doesn't recall a strong odor coming from the car, where everyone else is saying, oh, the smell was so overwhelming and it was, you know, the smell of decomposition. Well, you know, you've got people that remember it, some people that don't. You've got, you know, Jose Baez in his opening statement said that this duct tape is not going to have any DNA on it. Well, it better come back with no DNA on it. Or the whole
defense. Duct tape doesn't have any DNA on it, nor did it have any tissue of
right.
Kaylee.
Right. So that goes, you know, I would speculate that defense's argument is going to be, this is true. She drowned, and then the duct tape was placed over her mouth to make it look like a murder, or, you know, a kidnapping and a murder. And, mm-hmm. you know, if there was DNA on the duct tape, it would have DNA from the person who perpetrated the crime, as well as from Kaylee. How do we know the duct tape was on her mouth if there's no DNA on it? And I think those are hurdles that the state is going to have a hard time overcoming if they want to get a first-degree murder conviction. And that may be where Chaney Mason's sitting back saying, I'm going to use my expertise and my knowledge and pepper these people with questions when the time is right.
Yeah, because the state had an first responder on the stand yesterday or the day before that also said he didn't smell anything in the car, but he didn't stop at the car. He walked by the car in the garage.
Right. He said he walked, you know, through the garage by the car, didn't recall a smell. You know, you've got trained law enforcement officers who aren't smelling it, but then you've got a tow truck driver who said he smelled the smell of decomposition. George Anthony said it smelled. Her, you know, Cindy said, you know, she used the term just to get the police out there quickly. I mean, these are all, you know, is it reasonable doubt for first-degree murder? It doesn't show that, you know, there was premeditation. I mean, obviously, unfortunately, we've got a young child who lost her life. But the question is her mother guilty of first-degree murder, or is it an accident, manslaughter? You know, if the trial ended today, would she be guilty of child neglect and obstruction of justice? Absolutely.
And we've heard that so many times from so many different attorneys. They have the same opinion. But, you know, from your experience, have you seen jurors convict someone of a crime just because they don't like that person, or they don't like that person's lawyer, or they don't like the fact that she took 31 days to report it, or they, you know, they just happen to not like her?
Unfortunately, you see it. You know, is the jury going to convict her of first-degree murder and sentence her to death because they don't like Jose Baez, or they don't like the fact that she's sitting in the courtroom and doesn't look upset? I don't think they'll get her for first-degree murder. I think they're going to want to punish her and teach her a lesson for something, and they may get her for one of the lesser included. You know, they might get her for manslaughter and child neglect, and she may spend, you know, 15, 20 years in jail. I mean,
sure.
But right now, I don't think a jury could come back with a guilty verdict of first-degree murder.
Well, two words in all of this. It's called reasonable doubt, and I think the state has a pie-in-the-sky case. There are a lot of circumstantial evidence. And, Michelle, I'm pissed off, and I've not said a lot on your show, but I'm pretty angry tonight how the you've got a blogger up in Tennessee that sits there and blogs and does a blog show, who's an expert now, and he has a following. You have a bounty hunter out in California who spent one night in the house. He's an expert, and he can tell you exactly what happened.
He received a cease and desist order or something from Mark Lipton today, actually.
Correct.
But didn't stop him. He was on issues with Jane Velez, so...
I mean, there's so much circumstantial stuff here. I mean, I'm reading a timeline that goes back from, 1981 to current that I've got a hold of today. And I'm just looking at the evidence that was submitted to the FBI lab. You know, their hairs that were found on the shovel label, none of that hair came back to Kaylee or Casey. Their hairs that were found in the trunk, only one, they suspect, out of the seven or eight hairs, those don't come back to Kaylee or Casey. I've got a bunch of questions. In terms of reasonable doubt, you may get upset with me for what I'm about to say. George had an extra key to this car. There were just so much contamination on the evidence that they do have, I just don't think the state can prove it. And I agree with Eric. I've been against Cheney Mason. I mean, that guy has eaten my lunch numerous times in cases, and I think he is going to let he's going to let them have it when they present their case in chief. And Baez is Baez. He's doing what he can do. I think she could have a better chance with obviously a more seasoned attorney, but I think Cheney Mason will be the key to this thing.
Yeah, but you just said when you first, and I totally get your point, when you started talking about a blogger in Tennessee and you started talking about a bounty hunter, we're talking Levi Page and we're talking Leonard Padilla. So you don't like their performances on HLN. You don't understand why they're getting booked, because I think your point from the first character or blogger, rather, is because he's very fire and brimstone, right? There's just complete bias in his reporting. Is that what you're kind of
alluding
to?
Absolutely. Ross, everyone's drank the Kool-Aid because it's been embedded and branded and imprinted.
Hey,
in
I drank
mind.
That Kool-Aid now for 3 years.
Wait, I mean, let him finish.
Family,
I really, I'm really kind of getting what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're laying down. So keep going right there for a second.
No, I mean, these bloggers that I mean, the guy in Tennessee has never been an investigator. He's not a cop. He's a blogger. He does his research. He guesses. Just like both of these characters do, but, you know, people that are not trained professionals or that have been in this business as an investigative reporter, a cop, a journalist, they're average layman people, and they're going to read this, and they're going to take it to heart and fact, because they see it every single day.
That's
and,
the fault of the media, because the media, you know, they have their whole other issue. That's their fault. So,
well,
I mean, you can't really do anything about it. They got to book people, and, you know, who they choose to book for whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why someone in Tennessee is covering an Orlando story. I have no idea. But somehow it works for them. I don't know.
Ross, here's, you know, I live and earn my money in my firm from gathering public documents from the state of Florida. I mean, I live on those cases or those documents. And we have one of the most liberal public records document statutes in the United States, and I think Orange County shouldn't be in debt. HLN, Fox, I mean, they should be paying Orange County. Good God, I mean, as much information as they gotten from the county on this case, ratings and coverage, and it's really tainted the entire nation. Well, in this case, the entire world on people's opinion who really don't know what's going on.
Absolutely, and not to mention the incestuous relationship between Baez and the media. My goodness, I was at the Grand Bohemian the other night when Baez and Geraldo sat down and ate a $40 steak and had all kinds of great wine after he had unleashed his tirade on the media in court. I'm
but
like,
where,
oh,
but,
he's sitting with the quote-unquote enemy? Give me a break.
How
you know,
is that really the guilt or innocence of Casey?
No, not at all. We're having a media discussion here. It has nothing to do with Casey Anthony or her guilt or innocence, whether Baez is doing anything wrong. But I'm just saying, he unleashed, you know, all these things about the media, and then he's sitting with Geraldo right there. It just, for someone like me, it was just kind of, I don't know, it struck a nerve. I'm a human being. It happens.
Let me ask you, Eric, a question.
6 weeks ago, up until 6 weeks ago, I should add, the family had an idea of where the defense was going. But 6 weeks ago, they were given information on the direction they were taken. When do you think the defense changed the course? Because I have a lot of information knowing that this defense team for 2.5 years believed Kaylee during 2008 was still alive. And during 2009, believed somebody else was involved, and all of this. Never in a million years did I see the opening statement go the way it did. And the family became aware of it 6 weeks ago. But
right.
When do you think his change of direction took place
honestly,
on his defense? Because it almost appeared that his client was surprised.
Part of the defense theory and the defense persona, and they didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, 2.5 years ago or 2 years ago. And that, you know, they were saying what they were saying publicly and in the media to, you know, honestly keep the state at bay and to calm down some of the speculation and avoid 2 years of hype and buildup of, oh, this is complete, you know, garbage and crap that she didn't drown. I wouldn't be surprised if this theory was, you know, had come together, you know, a year and a half ago.
So let me ask you this then, okay? If you can't answer it, I understand. But do you think that during that time, in end of 2009, 2010, the public became aware of some wacko woman about some alleged affair with George, and all of this stuff started filtering out into the media when it hadn't in 2008. Do you think that would have been done by somebody on the defense in order to start staging the defense for the court?
They may have, they may have been sending feelers out. There was a 48-hour special on What Casey Knows where they had a secret, you know, jury panel where they were trying, you know, different theories and stuff. I mean, that may have come out. You know, I think part of their theory was developed when their experts had an opportunity to examine what was found in the car. You know, supposedly there was a bathing suit found in the car, and I think one of the defense experts is going to say that a bathing suit that had chlorine in it, you know, left in a hot car in Florida for 30 days, could be, you know, smell or chloroform. You know, I think, you know, there was so much hype about so many different things. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, defense attorneys all the time throw out little tidbits to kind of, you know, keep people off guard. You know, the state has the burden. The defense doesn't have to
do
anything,
really. So do you think that his client might – do you think by law we know that the client should know everything, but do you think that by any possibility – where he went with his opening statement that his client was unaware of what he was going to do?
No, his client knew what that opening statement was going to be. I'd be shocked if she didn't know what that opening statement was going to be and know, you know, what did and what was expected to be, you know, to come down from that opening statement. She knew. I think that's why also the eve of trial, when Cindy went to the jail, she refused to see her.
Do we know she refused, or do we know that Baez did not allow her to
Michelle,
see her?
Michelle, she hasn't been seeing any of her family members
she hasn't
for, like,
seen anybody
almost 2 years. I'm sure it came recommended by Baez. I mean, I wasn't there to hear the conversation, but I do know that the girl hasn't seen her family in, like, 2 years during jail visits.
And Cindy Anthony Monday before trial started, or Sunday, to try and, you know, rumor was that she was going to try and talk to Casey one last time before trial started and put money in her canteen account at the Orange County Jail. And I think at that point, Casey knew what the theory was, knew what the opening statement was going to be about, because if it wasn't finished by then, the defense was making a mistake.
So, you know, Casey had indicated on one of those, I know we've watched many hours of videotapes and audio this week. She mentioned that to Lee Anthony that she met Jose. Jose came into her life from somebody in the jail cell. But I was under the impression that she's been friends with Christine or Christina, the daughter of Jose, for 4 years prior. So would there, I mean, I don't know. Everything stinks in here, and the Kool-Aid has really soured. James, you want to touch on that one?
Eric, I know you have a view on that. Go ahead, and then I'll follow it up.
I know my understanding was that when Casey was first incarcerated for the child neglect, she asked around and got the name of Jose Baez. You know, personally, if I was an inmate, I wouldn't ask other inmates who your attorney was, because obviously you wouldn't want the attorney whose client's still sitting in jail. Whether or not, you know, she knew Jose Baez's daughter before, you know, this, I think that's totally irrelevant. She made the choice. Her family questioned her, as we've seen on the videotapes, as to whether or not she, you know, that she felt comfortable. She obviously did. That's her choice, and she's got to live with the consequences now of her decisions. And again, I still think, you know, this isn't about a Jose Baez, and he's got to deal with the hand he's dealt.
Just one last question on Jose, though. Mark Lipton, who is the attorney for George, Cindy, and now Lee Anthony, stated yesterday he'd save his comments about Jose Baez until after he was no longer an attorney. Do you think that's a prediction of where his career is going following this trial?
Mark Lipton or Jose Baez?
Jose Baez.
No, I don't think he's going to be the next, you know, TV celebrity with a show. I don't think that's the case. I think he's going to, after this case is done, he'll go back into, you know, private life. I mean, I'm sure he'll probably write a book or something, but he'll be an attorney for a while. I mean, he's not licensed. I don't think he's licensed long enough to be a judge in the state. So, and I don't think.
Gosh, help us.
I don't think MSNBC, CNN, Headline News, or any of the major networks are stroking checks to bring him on board and do a TV show.
Maybe Geraldo.
I hear you.
Yeah, maybe Geraldo.
Yeah, maybe that could be. Now, the defense's theory now is that that Kaylee drowned in the pool, George found her, and George and Casey covered it up. I don't believe that for a minute. I might have drank some Kool-Aid from this family, but that I don't believe happened. I don't believe George and Cindy knew anything except that they wanted their granddaughter home, and all of their search efforts were a reflection of that. Would any of you like to weigh in on that?
I will quickly. Whether
okay.
or not that's what happened, I think Jose Baez and the defense has put it out there. The state has a very, like I said earlier, has a very circumstantial case, and all they're trying to do, like Jamie said, is create some reasonable doubt. Can we create some reasonable doubt that this was not a premeditated first-degree murder? It was an accident or something happened. And if you get one, all the defense side needs is one juror to say, I don't think it happened this way. I don't think it was premeditated murder. And she's not going to be convicted of first-degree murder.
Right.
And Michelle, just to strengthen that, everyone looks at these jailhouse tapes where they're visiting. And, you know, throughout my whole office is watching this all day. I mean, the work product is really sucky right now. But everyone's, like, damning her for these, for her demeanor, what she's saying to George and Cindy, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, a couple of key things stick out in my mind on those visits. For instance, if you would believe Jose in his defense that George was a part of this, you know, George says a couple of interesting things. Quote, unquote, I've told your mom things that I've never confessed before in my life. Now, as an investigator, I'm going to key on that. Hey, what is he really talking about? Has he confessed to Cindy now that he actually found Kaylee in the pool drowning?
I see that,
you know,
all about the affairs, to be honest with
you. But, Michelle, it's all about reasonable doubt and how you present the facts to the jury and what was said
right.
on these tapes. And here's another one. Hey, we all have to stick together now. I just, you know, you can read into those interviews for
those
hours.
Those are so ambiguous. I mean, you could go so many different directions with that. I mean, I see
absolutely.
Where you're going, but, yeah, okay. For what you're – the point you're trying to make, absolutely, you're right.
But
all reasonable doubt was.
You need one juror.
One juror.
That's all you
So with our jury that's in the chat room chatting, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. on the tail end of this conversation regarding if George was responsible, involved, covered up, what have you, you've heard from a lot of our panelists. I want to play a voicemail message. We launched a website. I managed that website for 6 months. We did a lot of search efforts, and one of the things George did was he changed his voicemail message, and I want to play that for everybody right now.
Missing child alert. Hi, this is George Anthony, grandfather of missing 2-year-old Kaylee Marie Anthony. She was last seen June 16, 2008. She is 3 feet tall, has big hazel eyes and brown hair. She could be anywhere. Please help me and my family bring her home for her 3rd birthday. Any information that you provide will be completely confidential and anonymous. There will be a $225,000 reward for information that leads to the safe return of Kaylee. Press 1 now to be connected to a live representative and help us bring Kaylee home. Or for more information, visit our website at www.helpfindkaylee.com or call 1-800-423-8477.
Does that sound like a father that is just as good lying as his daughter is? Anybody?
Can I ask you a question regarding the question?
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, let's say the state would present that to the jury in part of their closing. The exact thing that you just played. If I was on the opposing side, I'm going to get up and say, you know, we all have children. Most of you on the jury have children. Have you ever seen a father so willing to get on the stand and literally help put his daughter possibly in the death chair? Eric, your take on that one?
Yeah, I mean, mothers and fathers would, you know, what they're going through has to be gut-wrenching. They lost their granddaughter, now they could be losing their daughter. And
but he's so willing to throw her under the bus.
Right, to be an integral part.
If it was my kid, I would be in jail right now. I wouldn't be testifying against my own daughter, no matter what she did.
But see, we asked Dr. Archer that last week and Ann Bremner, and they both agreed that as a parent, they would do anything to protect their daughter. And in this particular case, even Jose asked George on the stand, Mr. Anthony, you would do anything to protect your daughter, wouldn't you? And he said, yes, I would. And Dr. Archer agreed that he would do what it would take, and if that meant airing dirty laundry that he is being accused of molestation, he would do it if it meant getting Casey off.
Well, I don't think he would ever admit And as his attorney, I would never allow him to admit to molesting his daughter when she was 8 years old. I mean, that starts a whole world of trouble for him. But also haven't seen, you know, what the how the defense is going to use him. And, you know, they're trying to get in some of his medical records. We don't know what those medical records are going to show. You know, but it calls into question this whole family situation, the whole life of Casey Anthony growing up, and you know, I don't know if that voice recording actually, you know, shows that he's not trying to cover up. If you're trying to cover up and your plan is to try and make it look like your daughter didn't do it, why wouldn't you do those recordings? Why wouldn't you drive all around Orlando with a banner that says, you know, help us find our granddaughter, while you know, you're trying to make it look like someone else did it? I mean, he's a former law enforcement officer. He knows how juries work, and he knows that a jury in this situation is probably going to convict his daughter of something and that she's going to spend some time in jail.
I found it interesting that, which I had never caught before, that Casey had indicated to police during interrogation tapes, or maybe it wasn't interrogation, according to Yuri, but that the father of Kaylee, where is he? I don't, you know, whatever she said. But then she said, what about the father of Kaylee's parents, and she said, oh, we haven't seen them since we were 6 and 7. I found that very interesting because my mind went to two different theories, and a friend of mine put me back on the ground. But that was a very odd statement because it was almost implying that it's somebody that she still knows but hasn't seen.
She does
seen
know
sister.
Them. Lee Anthony said that on record. He said that on television, that they know exactly who he is. And then she turned to me in another interview and said no one will ever know that information. They know who the
Why
father is.
Why do you think
is.
The secret? Why do you think it's such a big
Why
secret?
Why did they try to hide that she was pregnant? Why did George Anthony get fired from some police station in Ohio? Why did he try to allegedly commit suicide? I don't know.
Why did Lee Anthony have to get DNA tested to prove he wasn't the father?
Right. I mean, there's so many unknowns here. I mean, we could go on.
I'm telling you, this is a motion picture, an award-winning motion picture. I do see it. This is better than reality TV. This is reality TV, but I'm saying
I don't think it's better, Michelle. I think it's absolutely awful that we're all being entertained at the expense of this young child. How many, you of all people, Michelle, know how many young children are being taken advantage of, taken every single day. I mean, this is just horrific. What's going on is an absolute circus, and it's horrific. And if I was on HLN again, I would definitely have that to say.
This is very horrific, and this family, from what I know of George and Cindy, has gone through hell. And for anybody to think for a minute that they knew where George and Casey buried him, buried her?
Allegedly,
okay. And that's what Jose put out there, that they don't know how, but somebody, maybe Crunk, unburied her and put her where they found her. You know how ludicrous that sounds? And my question is, what kind of a defense attorney are you if you're told this information in 2008 when the remains are found and your client confesses that you would want her day in court when
how about
like this would have been?
What kind of defense attorney brings evidence against his own client in whenever the state wasn't even going to use it?
And my
that was a major blunder the other day. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, my understanding throughout this whole thing, the state has never been willing to talk plea deal. They've never been willing to talk about any offer to resolve this matter. They wanted their day in court as well.
The
body was.
The state has offered 3 plea deals.
Yeah,
on
from
her.
What I've heard, that's true. That's true that the state
they
has
did.
Offered
they
that.
They offered her a plea in November when we released the photo of a sighting in Florida Mall. The next day at 4:30 p.m., they released a statement that they took the death sentence off the table and they gave her an option. She didn't take it. She hasn't taken any of them, and they've offered, from what I know to be true, 3 so far. She might have been offered more, but why not take the plea deal?
No offers. That was what I've heard. And, this is
part
of the problem.
There has been 3 offers,
and
she took none.
Right,
why?
But if she is convinced that she's not guilty of first-degree murder, why would she take it? We don't know what the offers were, first of all.
Which, yeah, we don't know. And I think he's got a point there. Like Judge Alex said, he, in all of his experience, has never seen a better liar.
Right.
He said,
oh, she's
this
a great
girl,
liar.
It was or it wasn't, we'll never know, unfortunately. But going back to where the body was found, and I think Jose Baez, people say it's crafted, he's throwing it out there, but how did this Roy Kronk, and I think what the defense is going to call his son or whatever, to say, Roy Kronk called him and said, I'm going to hit the lotto, I'm going to find, I know where the body is, and he called the police on 4 different occasions because he just so happened to be relieving himself. And
he's full of crap. He is as good a liar as Casey, actually worse.
But
I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
What does that do to a jury? That,
right.
And that's all they need is doubt.
Right.
Create doubt.
If the prosecution puts him on the stand, they're dead.
Who's dead?
Because he's full of it.
But
he's saying if they put Tim Miller from Texas, are you saying Texas EquiSearch, the EquiSearch?
No, I said Crunk.
But I don't think
Tim Miller,
witnesses.
no matter how you feel about Tim Miller, you know, of all the circus folks in this, like Zenaida Gonzalez, she was on Nancy Grace tonight, you know. Leonard Padilla, John Morgan, Rob Dick, Linda Bonin, Brad Conway, John Morgan, as I said. The two people you don't see much from are Tim Miller and Mark Niejame and Tracy. You know,
Mark
Niejame
is no
Tracy.
Longer part of this case.
Headline news.
None of these people are part of this case, but yet they seem to be getting a lot of airplay and continuing the circus act. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Instead of talking facts.
Mark is a stand-up guy and a great attorney, and I honestly don't think he's going to lose his credibility or his name.
No,
in this
of course not.
Right.
Yeah,
no, Mark,
know.
I do agree there.
I agree. Mark, you know, Mark stepped down. Mark stepped down and continued working with me, despite the fact that I was working for the Anthonys on a path that he disagreed with. But he's a great guy. But what I'm saying is, I find it very odd that all of these attorneys that once were retained by the defendant can go out on a whim and be loose lips. You know,
what do you mean?
Yeah, you can't shut him up, but, you know, that's
besides
the point.
He wasn't an attorney in the case. You said all the attorneys
Linda
that were
Bonin.
Part of the defense.
Well,
Linda Bonin.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
she's not sticking around because she's not making any money. The only way she's going to make any money is if she gets some kind of book deal, maybe gets booked on a show.
Michelle,
you know,
I think
what I'm saying is,
if
you're the defendant, would you want to know that the people that you entrusted information about your defense is now all of a sudden talking on
yeah, had,
all these?
I had issues when Linda Bonin was on, I think it was either 48 Hours or the Today Show, telling the world Casey Anthony's a liar. I personally think that's inappropriate, you know, but unfortunately.
Isn't there a law, though?
What's that?
Isn't there like a law once you've been retained until that case is closed that you shouldn't be allowed to go and spill your guts? It's like my psychiatrist. Oh, God, you know, I no longer go to them, but yet they can go and talk about me. They can't do that by HIPAA law, so why should an attorney be allowed to do that? Brad Conway, the same way.
It's attorney-client privilege, and what they're going to say is, the information I'm saying isn't privileged information because it's nothing that the client told me. It's just my perception of the client.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Not revealing details
so
of the case or defense strategies or what Casey may have said or may have admitted or may have not, whatever. They're giving their opinion that, in my opinion, she's a liar. And that's really not attorney-client privilege. Is it ethical? You know, everyone's got their own version of where that line is that you shouldn't cross. But
I mean, to further that, I mean, look at Andrea Lyons. She stepped in, then she stepped out, and she wrote
mm-hmm.
a book. And
right.
how did she market her book?
Well, so
the
did
only,
Dr. G.
Okay, how did she market her book? The only death penalty qualified attorney on the Casey Anthony case. That was how Kaplan marketed her book, okay, after she was already off the case.
Well, look at
Dr.
G.
You know,
look at
her. Her coroner's report can't put a cause of death.
Her coroner's report, she wasn't even the one. She was on vacation when the remains were found. Her own people who had applied stuff to that report indicated they could not decipher if it was male or female, and yet she comes out on the 19th of December and says, this is Kaylee Marie Anthony, in a press conference that was originally scheduled for Roy Crunk. So
in my understanding,
I found
also
all that to stink.
That part of why Cindy Anthony was so convinced it wasn't little Kaylee was because there were 20 baby teeth and Cindy knew she only had 18.
Yeah, that's correct. And there was clothes in the so-called bags. I don't know where they're at on which bags that Crunk found, but it was a two-toddler outfit. Kaylee was in a 5'6". Kaylee was potty trained. She didn't wear a diaper. There was a diaper in the bag. So, you know, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. But that press conference was originally scheduled for Roy Crunk, and it was very apparent when Dr. G had to give her statement that she looked pressured. That was not a relaxed Dr. G who I saw weeks later promoting her book.
Well,
and I've seen her have to come out on
biases in the defense team's hand. Here we go. We've got Dr. G who wants TV press and, you know, has her own show, you know, getting her name out there because she wants to get involved in this. There's no way that they can say what the cause of death was. They can't even say whether or not it was a little boy or a little girl. You've got
mm-hmm.
Cindy Anthony saying, I'm not convinced it's Kaylee because there were 20 teeth and she had 18. The size of the clothes in the garbage bag wasn't the right size.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I mean, from the defense side, it's a dream.
Yeah.
I mean,
How can he use any of that if all of that goes against... You know, all of that goes against what he's claiming happened.
Well,
he claimed she was alive until December.
I think this is where Cheney Mason's going to come in with his expertise and his years of experience is going to show and pick apart those things. And, you know, for all we know, Kaylee may have drowned. These may not be Kaylee's remains is what the defense is going to say.
Whoa, Eric.
You don't know.
We're going to have you back as this trial goes on. We haven't had an attorney come out and say that yet.
I mean, who knows? I think they're going to use Cindy's statements against, you know, to impeach. They're going to use the original coroner's reports and the lab techs that worked there that said they couldn't figure it out. The issue with
mm-hmm.
the clothes. I mean...
Or use Geraldo's anchorwoman's own words by saying, wait a second, Geraldo, the sheriff said that they sent a full 2.5-year-old corpse to Quantico, and now you're telling me they only sent the femur and she's in a bunch of different bones? So they sent a partial corpse? I'm confused. So that aired on Fox News. So
all this creates doubt. It creates...
It does.
Creates questions for the defense to go and roads for the defense to go down. And
will the judge allow it in, though, is the question, because he seems to every time, and most of the time I agree with him, but when Baez starts going down a path, you know, the prosecution objects to it.
And that's where I think you're not going to see Baez doing it, because I think
okay.
the judge, whether while they're supposed to be impartial, the judge has a lot more respect for Cheney Mason and is going to allow Cheney to go down that road because of Cheney's experience. And honestly, it's issues that need to be explored. What size were the clothes that were found with the body? What size would a child of this size wear? Well, if there were 2T clothes found and she was wearing 5T, why were there 2T clothes there? Why would Casey get rid of clothes that were 2 toddler size and not 5 toddler size? Why would she be dressed in clothes that were 3 sizes too small?
And George saw her last at 12:30 on June 16th as they breezed in and out to get clothes. And this is what I was told. And then at 4 o'clock, I believe, she rented a video with her boyfriend, Tony Lazzaro. So one would have to surmise that she killed Kaylee between 12:30 and 4 o'clock on June 16th and had the time to do all of this and hide her without anybody being alerted to something out of the norm with her, which means she could be very much cold-blooded killer and could cover it up.
Or she knew that the child drowned and that her father was helping to, you know, cover this up. And
it wouldn't have happened on the 16th, though.
Go on as nothing's happened. Act normal and just go. Be yourself. Don't do anything out of the norm to draw attention to the fact that Kaylee's not with you. As opposed to you killed your daughter between 10 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon and then hid her body And, oh, by the way, the neighbor said you only had to shovel for an hour.
Is that your opinion or is that your defense attorney speaking?
That's my defense attorney speaking.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know, we don't know. But you got to throw theories out. I mean, unfortunately, as a defense attorney, you got to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. And hopefully something sticks to keep your client out of death row.
I want to let the listeners know again, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. If you're calling in, there's people in the online. If you want to ask a question, call back and click host queue. So once your hand is raised, I'll be able to click over. I want to play a collect call to Cindy Anthony. Kind of shows the demeanor of Casey, and one would, you know, when you listen to this, in my opinion, it's like, where's that distraught mother, whether it was an accident, premeditated, or maybe she did believe that Kaylee was missing and was taken by somebody. Listen to this.
Correction Center for rate quote press 7. To accept this free call, press 0. To obtain a customer, this call is subject to monitoring and recording. Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
Casey?
Mom.
Hey, sweetie.
Well, I just saw your nice little cameo on TV.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Which one? I did 4 different ones, and I don't know. I haven't seen them all. I've only seen 1 or 2 so far.
You don't know what my involvement is in stuff?
Casey.
Mom.
What?
No.
I don't know what your involvement is, sweetheart. You're not telling me where she's at.
Because I don't know where she's at. Are you kidding me?
Casey, don't waste your call.
No.
Scream and holler at
waste
me.
My call sitting in, the jail?
Whose fault is...
Bunks are?
Whose fault is you sitting in the jail? You're blaming me that you're sitting in the jail?
Not
blame yourself
fault.
For telling lies. You mean it's not your fault? What do you mean it's not your fault, sweetheart? If you had told them the truth and not lied about everything, they wouldn't...
Do me a favor. Just tell me what Tony's number is. I don't want to talk to you right now. Forget it.
I don't have his number.
We'll get it from Lee because I know Lee's at the house. I saw Mallory's car was out front. It was just on the new...
That was a partial of a 12-minute... call she made, a collect call from jail early on to her mother. James, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, you know what? She's a liar. She's the most, she's a terrible mom, potentially. She's very aggravated. The whole world is coming down on her. She's struggling in jail. I think if I was incarcerated for that amount of time, I would probably do anything to get out. I don't think it really goes to her guilt or innocence. I think it's just a kid in jail, and she's wanting out.
Eric?
I agree with Jamie. You know, people will do and say anything to get out of jail. I don't think you can say because she didn't want to talk to her mom and was asking for Tony Lazzaro's phone number, she killed her daughter. She missed, I mean, jail's horrible. People just miss people when they're, you know, here you are being told you may spend the rest of your life, or worse, be put in the electric chair or given the needle, and she's convinced herself that everything's okay.
And Michelle, if I can touch on one other item, this is not going to be the last inmate we hear from that's wanting out of jail. Keep in mind, we have a couple of pen pals who has the motivation to make up stories, blog, or writings, journals, or diaries. They're also wanting out of jail. So, you know, I don't think the state can have it both ways. Eric?
Totally agree. You know, the judge has let these recordings in now. He's going to have to let in the recordings or, you know, statements made by other inmates in the defense case in chief. I mean, you can't just allow it in for one side. You got to allow it in for both sides.
I mean, you know, you have this Robin Adams chick that was involved. Her husband was a cop here in Central Florida. They, you know, she was charged federally in a drug conspiracy case. Hence, now she's in jail with Casey. what more motive to want out of jail? Now, she's, you know, is she telling the truth? Is she not telling the truth? But she, the bottom line is she wants out of jail just like Casey. And I don't think that goes to guilt or innocence on these collect calls that Casey's ranting and raving to her mom about wanting out of jail.
I mean, I go to visit clients at the jail for 30 to 45 minutes, and I would do anything to get out of there in those after 45 minutes. I could not imagine having been locked up in there, being in solitary, being in protective custody, and only getting an hour outside of your, 6x12 cell every day.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in jail since October of 2008.
She holds the record for the longest inmate at Orange County Jail in the female side.
What about the bail? Do you think that the bail that she originally had before the grand jury indicted her was to the extreme?
No.
Without having much evidence at that time?
Well, she was being charged with, at that time, she was being charged with child neglect, and she also, you know, the state had also charged, I think, those 7 felonies of grand theft of the, you know, the stuff from Amy, and I think, you know, when you add up all those 7 and the fact that she's under a cloud of suspicion, you know, you want to set the bond is set to prevent someone from being a flight risk. And they wanted to set it where if bond was set, it was made where she wouldn't leave, she wouldn't flee, and she was coming back. And, you know, I think part of the problem the state may have is we know she was being watched when she got out, when she was released that first time. How did that body get there?
Well,
was it there? I mean, it was searched.
It wasn't there. I'm not on Tim's.
The family had to be under surveillance. Jamie, I don't know what you can add to that, but
surveillance of the media. I mean, they couldn't go anywhere. I was with them 14 hours a day. We were being followed by weird people. We were being followed by media, you know. So when things came out, allegations towards George, it was like, are you kidding me? He would have never done this since the time that Casey was arrested, you know. So that didn't appear to be true. So, yeah, everyone was watching her. She wasn't driving alone anywhere.
They had electronic surveillance on the vehicles also, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
When the bounty hunter and his circus crew were in town, they had a dummy car that the media thought they left Jose's office in. The sheriff's office felony unit, in fact, had the correct car, but, you know, they faked out the media and whoever was following them, but, the government, or the sheriff's office in this case, they were right on top of them. So they were under electronic surveillance.
So do we all agree on this call, whether defense or, you know, we want justice for Kaylee Marie, obviously, but am I hearing that we all agree that there was no way in hell that while she was out, she was able to dig Kaylee up and hide her somewhere?
I think it would have been impossible.
I agree, totally.
Do you think that Lee would have helped her?
He has immunity.
He's got immunity, and...
And why does he have immunity, and why is that sealed, and we don't know why?
My guess is some deal with the devil. I don't know. But, you know, he's been very quiet for the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And he asked for permission to sit in court, and he hasn't been there in 2 days.
Right, which, you know, I respect Judge Perry. But I find that very – I understand the family, you know, the grandparents are victims and Lee's a victim, but they're also material witnesses in this case.
I agree.
Have them there listening
every day. They could be watching
it
at home with the rest of us.
You know –
Well, and not to even mention, it's the million-dollar case. I mean, it's just costing us so much money. Why take the chance and let the family members sit in on this case? It's just – I think it's ridiculous with all due respect to the judge.
George Anthony sat there and listened to Jose Baez's opening, was called. He knew the cat was out of the bag. Now, whether or not I think Jose was right in laying all the cards on the table in the opening statement, I don't know if I would have done that. I would have gone down the road of the DNA, down the road of lack of the ability to show premeditation, down the lack of, you know, you've heard all these character people talk about Casey's behavior after Kaylee was missing. Well, no one's talked about how her behavior was up to. People that have said something was that she was a loving mother. That doesn't show premeditation. So I think the family sitting in the courtroom is a mistake, and, you know, I don't know if it's reversible error.
Eric, you've had your fair share of retrials, and just let me throw this out here. You know, we've all been imprinted with what's been on the media, and we'll leave it at that. But if you were representing her, wouldn't you imprint and just drive this into the jury's mind every single hour, the words reasonable doubt in your statements or your questioning?
Absolutely. I mean, Yuri Malik, I think I would have asked like four or five questions. The last question would have been, do you know how Kaylee died? No? Okay. You sit down. That's what the state's betting on.
Well,
Ricardo,
you know, when he said, oh, I just chatted on my MySpace for fun regarding the chloroform photo, kill her with chloroform, and it showed a couple. It's like Jose just left it like that. I would have asked, what do you mean you had it on there for fun?
These witnesses are also subject to recall by the defense. And when based on what the state does, when the defense goes to put its case in chief on, I think we're going to see a lot of these witnesses coming back and those types of questions being asked. And I think that may be what someone with Chaney Mason's experience is sitting back saying, don't do it now. We've got certain motions that we can ask for after the state does its case in chief. That'll be denied. You know, a judgment of acquittal, that'll be denied. Let's save these things. Let's recall them and ask them. Highlight. So you just heard the state talk about how they found the search term chloroform on a computer. Then here comes the boyfriend back with, well, you posted this on MySpace. Well, maybe Casey didn't know what chloroform was, and she was looking it up because she saw it and wanted to see what's chloroform. What's he talking
about? Thank you.
She also supposedly looked up neck breaking, but, you know, it didn't appear that the skull was broken. So,
right.
You know, what could that
be?
Hey, Eric, excuse me one second. I have to get this off my chest. You know, after watching all the cast of characters in this entire trial, this Morales character, and I know him from, I don't know him from Adam, that guy just gave me the creeps, just his demeanor, his body language, the way he answered the questions.
Who is this?
Morales. The
Oh, gosh.
That guy really creeped me out. Out of all the players, that would make me want to go out and dig a little bit deeper in his background and just make certain that he had nothing to do with this. I mean, just the mere fact that he had that in his MySpace account, that's terrifying. That was it followed up on by law enforcement? Or was it just...
ironic that the prosecutors, the state called all of these friends, and you got to remember, other than one person that testified, all of those people came into her life between January and June.
Sure.
So when they finally said, how long have you known to Amy Heisinger, it was like, oh, thank God someone's asking that question, because the girl only knew her since March. How do you become best friends with somebody that quickly? But I found it odd that they didn't call, and which it would probably hurt their case, but the police officers that actually had to get put off the case and eventually get fired because that they actually dated her.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they?
I spoke with Jose's investigator. Matter of fact, I spoke with him this evening, and they've begged this one deputy. I mean, they practically begged him, please at least show up. Let us talk to you. And he's just not accessible. So that makes me wonder, why isn't the state going after him?
I still think. You know, we're 11 days into testimony. The state will probably rest, they said today, I think June 17th, 18th, around there. I still think the defense has some things up their sleeve. I think Chaney Mason is sitting back, you know, from what people have told me, is kind of the puppet master in the courtroom, orchestrating this whole defense. And I think when the experts from the state come up to start testifying, I think that's when the defense is really going to start punching holes in you know, this, you know, the hair banding in the car, you know, the stains in the car. You know, I think you're, that's when they're going to really start laying it on thick and poking holes in some of this. Up until now, it's been, what kind of person is Casey and what did she do? She's a liar. Okay. It doesn't make you a murderer. And as a defense attorney, I'd be sitting, would I be nervous? Absolutely. I'd be happy with the way things have gone up until now because you haven't proved there's the premeditation or this, you know, malice in Casey Anthony's heart to kill her daughter. I mean, her friend said she was a loving mother and a great mother and a mother-like figure to all of them.
Yeah, the thing about, you know, the Padillas of the world saying, yeah, she made my partner dinner and all of this. I got news for you. George and Cindy Anthony, which I'm sure Casey, if she was in her mind an event planner, you know, your demeanor is always to make people feel welcomed. In that house, that's the way Cindy is. I've only spoken with Casey on occasions on the phone, but I've never met her. But Cindy, you know, I spent many days in that house, and it was, come on in, you know, and then cook a home-cooked meal and all of that. Yeah, you have a missing child, but, you know, that's just showing hospitality. So I don't think that anything of that with the folks that are saying, you know, she didn't seem concerned. Casey, you know, it's hard to say.
Let me run this by you real quick. Cindy may have treated you and everyone else like that, but we don't know the exact relationship that she and Casey had, nor George and Casey. Dr. Archer, you've got to get Archer back on here to answer this question, but this is my theory. I mean, everyone else is throwing their theory out. This is mine. If that family was so dysfunctional and there was so much turmoil as being described by Baez, Casey is living this fake life and lying and deceiving people because that may be the life that she wanted and wasn't getting at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it almost appears like she snapped after the birth of Kaylee.
Exactly.
Because it's she did have a job at Universal at one point with a third party with Kodak. Cindy's even met her boss, seen her badge and all of this. And even the person said, yes, she was once employed here. So it's almost like her whole life then, and somebody said something on one of the media outlets about how she would correct people when they said the babysitter. And she'd say, no, it's my nanny. You know, and it's like, hello, you know, and that's not the way George and Cindy are, you know, so it was like, it's almost like she snapped and living in another time, you know, I don't know. It's hard to describe her. I have Dr. Archer coming back at some point. Because, yeah, he does shed some light. I thought it was split personality disorder or something, and he corrected me, no, because your personalities, would not know right from wrong, and Casey definitely knows right from wrong. So,
Eric, will her psyche vow, is that ever going to be public record in the court file? I know we had to hit the statute, but, God, I would love to see her psych evaluation.
You know, depending on what the defense does, I mean, I don't think the state's going to be able to get it in, but they haven't made an insanity plea. You know, if they go down that she has psychiatric issues and all that, I would imagine, I mean, it's going to have to come in, but I would imagine it would have already been exchanged with the state and part of the discovery, God willing, or the judge, I'm sure, is going to keep it out because if it wasn't exchanged, everything was supposed to be due the end of December.
Was due at the end of December, what do you make of the fact that the disorganization of the defense attorney, that's not a reflection to the jury if the defense is always being reprimanded? And I think Judge Perry, does he do that with a lot of you attorneys out there where he says, you know, I gave you a room, why aren't you using it? You've got five attorneys there, get it, you know.
Saw
it's
that.
Like, wow.
You and I saw that. The world saw that. The jury didn't. And that's what people are losing sight of. A lot of this reprimanding and a lot of the questioning and a lot of the scolding or the lashing out of both sides is done outside of the jury's presence. And the jury doesn't see that. They see a very limited stuff. They don't see the chit-chat back and forth at sidebar. They see it. They don't know what's going on at sidebar. They don't hear all the stuff yesterday about this report and this new expert that the defense wants to bring in. They don't see that. We see that. You know,
good
just
point.
Like the OJ trial. I don't think anyone in this world would have imagined that he would have walked in the murder trial. But there were things that we saw that were like, wow, how can they get away with this? But the jury didn't see it.
So tell our listeners, Eric, in the state of Florida, does the jury, what is their power here? They come back with what kind of a verdict? Do they do the sentencing? Do they make recommendations? How does it work in the state of Florida?
Well, the jury will come back with a guilty or not guilty on first-degree murder. They could find her guilty of a lesser included, which is what the judge will instruct them on. If there is a guilt phase in this, then that will, I would imagine, with the jury being sequestered, would start immediately or at least a couple days later, where the defense would put on witnesses as mitigating factors, and that's where you may see the psychological report of Casey Anthony come in if she's found guilty of, some crime. And there would be a guilt phase, and the jury would go back and make a recommendation to Judge Perry. And then it would be Judge Perry's, he can either go with the jury's recommendation or, enter his sentence. But you're going to see if there's a guilt phase, that's when these mitigating factors would come in and be really play a part in the sentencing of Casey Anthony. And I think we're probably 6 weeks away from that, or 5 weeks away from that.
Now, a lot of defense attorneys, and we hope maybe sometime soon we'll have a prosecutor on here as well, but they say they give their client a notepad to take notes, et cetera, like she was doing in pretrial motions, et cetera. We have not seen her doing that this time around, and she almost looks stoic, drugged out. Even Jane Velez made fun at the fact she never even moved yesterday. Is that a defense mechanism that the defense recommends she does, or?
I think, when I'm in trial, my clients always have a notepad and a pen because I need to be focused on the testimony that's being elicited, and I don't need chit-chat in my ear from my client. That may be a defense strategy. Her defense team is three or four attorneys strong, I believe, sitting at the table. And she may be whispering, we see her, on the camera, but there's also a lot of breaks and a lot of, recesses and times when the jury's out. And, I'm sure there's a lot of chit-chat going back and forth. And so far, these witnesses have all been friends or family members. And I think she's told them each, what road to go down. They have an outline of questions. They've gone through the questions with her over and over. And I think up until now, there hasn't been any issue that's come up where she would need to have more input. And you got to remember, the defense has also had 3 years to prepare this defense. A lot of times in a case, you've got speedy trials, and you're in and out in, 6 or 7 months.
James? You want to weigh in at all on that?
No, I totally agree with Eric. I mean, as an attorney, I've seen it being there as an investigator, as support for the attorney. Even I would dare to pass a note on an important case like this. I mean, they've had enough time to groom themselves. Chaney Mason, I guarantee you, is doing the quarterbacking. I can assure you they have several tricks up their sleeve that they haven't presented, and I think Casey's fully aware of the defense plan.
Well, let me ask you this then, both of you. Again, I don't know the law there in Florida, but during the jury selection, I would have thought that if the prosecution knew exactly the road the defense was going to take, the prosecution would ask the question of the jurors during the jury selection about sexual abuse incest, etc. So not to have somebody on the jury. Was that omitted for a purpose?
I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier with the defense strategy as to why had they not mentioned that she drowned in the pool? Why had they not mentioned the sexual abuse? I think the defense wanted to keep that quiet. If you notice the jury selection also, the defense didn't go down that road. They were not tipping their hands until Tuesday morning.
And they're allowed to do that? I thought they had to, communicate that prior to the opening day.
You don't have to tell the prosecution what your theory is. And in Florida,
okay,
if the defense didn't participate in reciprocal discovery, they don't necessarily have to give the state the discovery. But they don't have to tell the state, this is the road we're going down. You know, here's our roadmap. You know, beat us. It's poker. You know the state's case. The defense, you know, through motions and all that stuff can kind of show its hand, but in a situation like this where you're announcing to the world that she drowned and you're announcing to the world that Casey was allegedly sexually abused and that the baby allegedly drowned, the defense is under no obligation to tip its hand and show the state attorney's office, here's where we're going.
Okay, and another question regarding the courtroom circus, I should say. Is it typical, is it a traditional method to do a lottery of 50 people getting through the door to get seating every day?
Typically, you have two people watching a trial. Billy Bob Thornton's granddaughter, someone related to him, was on trial for first-degree murder two or three floors below in the courthouse. That got very little play media-wise. This case, because of the media attention, and you know it's in the courtroom on the 23rd floor, which is our ceremonial courtroom. It's a huge courtroom, has a second floor balcony for spectators to watch, and Judge Perry wanted to keep it, you know, tame and limited it to 50 people, which is the number of seats that it can hold.
But that's not reporters.
I'm sorry?
That's not the reporters. That's in addition to the reporters. So my
right.
Observation, it's more like your bloggers running to the gate where they're not credentialed, but yet they can sit in that courtroom. That's kind of confusing for me.
The courtrooms are open to the public. And
oh,
all
okay.
This is supposed to be done in the open eye of the public and available for public scrutiny and all that. And what Judge Perry was trying to do was limit the chaos outside of the courtroom because of security and because of having to get to the 23rd floor. And there's only 50 seats, and that's what he said the number is 50. And people line up in an orderly fashion outside. And I can tell you, you know, being at that courthouse every day, there's no one outside. There's no protesters. If the media trucks weren't there, you wouldn't know anything was going on.
Really?
It's been the easiest to get in and out of that courthouse the past 2 weeks than it's been in years.
So nobody is following the Anthonys and yelling at them as they come and go?
I've never seen them come in and go out of the courthouse. I think the judge has...
They're probably coming through a different way.
Being followed back to and from, but I don't think George and Cindy, you don't see any media following them in and out of the courthouse. I think, you know, they've gotten some... I don't know how they're getting in and out of the courthouse, but all the people essential to the case have badges. They're going through,
mm-hmm.
you know, secured entrances, and that's it. But the way that Judge Perry has handled the courthouse and the Orange County Sheriff's Office with the courthouse deputies have handled the courthouse has been, in my opinion, as an attorney, amazing. There's no circus. There's big areas outside the courthouse for protesters that are empty. There's not one person there. You know, there was rumors
they did very well on
people in downtown Orlando. If you got a dozen, you're lucky.
They did very well on the media credential process.
They've done a
great
job.
So it seemed like they had more things in control.
I mean, Judge Perry said this case is bigger than the OJ case, which was the biggest case. You know, with the advent of Facebook and Twitter and you know the social media and the internet, there's more people following this case than followed that case in. You don't have the media circus. You've got everything is cordoned off. The media are in their positions. I think it's a dream. Jamie, I don't know what your experience has been, but...
I was in the pressed with Judge Perry that when somebody established a site on him on Facebook, they immediately sent out a press release stating that he has no website, Facebook, blah, 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 so that people would understand that's not him talking. There's many out there on the Anthonys as well. I've sent those links to the Anthonys and their attorney so that they know what's out there, because bloggers mean well, but I can tell you that it's very easy for people to establish a fake identity and make people believe it's you saying something when it's not really you. So I was impressed that the judge had released a press release on there. He could have just let it slide, you know.
He seems like an upscale person.
Say that again.
Judge Perry had total control of his courtroom. He's a no-nonsense judge. And quite frankly, I know there were spectators who, you know, got in line at 3 in the morning to watch it. One who fell asleep and was asked to leave the courtroom by a deputy.
Hmm.
I mean, he seems like a very good judge. He's going to keep the trial moving. And I think that's what we saw when he talked to the state and the defense attorneys. Look, you know, the jury wanted to go on Memorial Day. You all didn't want to go. If you all want to work late on Saturdays, we'll work late. We're here. What difference does it make? Let's get this. We're getting this done. We've got 19 people or 17 people in a hotel that haven't seen their families, and we're going to make their life as easy as possible and move this case along. I'm not going to let this become a circus. And he's done a great job at that.
He's done a great job with that. We have about 8 minutes left. Any last thoughts? Sorry we've kept you a little long tonight. We appreciate both you and James being on, Eric. Any last thoughts? We know that we're in the courtroom tomorrow again, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
The only thing I would say is I think the case is far from over. I think that there's still going to be some bombs that are dropped by both the state and the defense, and it's going to be interesting to watch and see what happens over the next 5 or 6 weeks, because I don't think we're close to the end of hearing all of the craziness in this case.
I'd agree with you. James?
You know, the only thing that I can, if anyone listens to what I'm about to say, or just please take this to heart and listen, don't drink the Kool-Aid from either side. I mean, listen as a public on these media channels, listen to the evidence, use your common sense, and have an open mind, and let's make certain that justice is served properly and the right person is served with justice. I think the courtroom demeanor and Perry is doing a great job of controlling that. Baez may have fumbled a few times, but I still say I'm waiting for that fourth inning thing, because I think they're going to really surprise a lot of folks out here, including the state. I just don't think the state has any idea what they're about to come up with.
Interesting. Yeah, I think every day is a new day, and I'm sure they go home and, in Baez's case, eat a steak with Geraldo and then determine how he's going to object the next day, and the same goes for Linda on the prosecution side. So it's anybody's day. You just never know where it's going to go. Never. Well, I thank you both for joining us. Eric, James, you know you're always on the show. And Eric, please feel free and come back to us at any time. We plan on doing these weekly to give a weekly update of where we're at. I surmise that next week we'll probably have Dr. Dale Archer and maybe Dr. Larry Kobolinski on to discuss forensics, because it looks as if that's where we're going. But we are going to have a show this Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, with actress Daryl Hannah and musician Buzzy Martin. We'll be having a voice for environmentalist Tim DeChristopher. So join our conversation this Sunday evening here at Voices for Justice. And until then, all of you have the power to be the voice for justice, and you just need to speak up on what you believe. So thank you, and thank you, everyone. Good night. And we're going to leave with Emil, who we were introduced by Nancy Grace, his song Missing Child, because tonight we still have a lot of missing children out there in the world. So good night, everyone. Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
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 Can anybody out there hear my voice? Does anybody out there really care for a missing child? I'm a stranger in a strange place, and I don't know how I got here. I'm so far away from home. I would run, but I'm afraid to, 'cause I don't know what would happen. Could I make it all alone? If I could get someone's attention, one kind soul to look my way, maybe you would recognize me from the pictures where they say I'm a man. Anybody out there really care?